Are you the type of leader who wants to leave behind a legacy? Well, I'd love to help you unlock a legacy of excellence with the School Leadership Toolkit. For just $97, you'll gain access to 10 easy-to-implement resources, including templates, frameworks, and bonus content designed to help you manage your to-do list, make better decisions, navigate difficult conversations, and support your team. Fast-track solutions to your challenges by grabbing the toolkit at schoolsofexcellence.com/toolkit or click the link in the show notes. Elevate your leadership journey today. Welcome to the Schools of Excellence podcast, a place for insightful conversations about building sustainable schools of excellence. Join me each week as we explore the importance of leading with your values, creating impact, and leaving a lasting legacy. My goal on the show is to provide you with clarity, elevate your mindset, and equip you with practical strategies and inspiration. I'm Chani Olshansky, a proud mother of four, a former New Yorker now savoring sunny Florida vibes. With a professional journey spanning 18 years across all levels of school leadership, I bring nuanced insight that delve into the intricate details of running a center, as well as the broader visionary aspects of leadership. Thank you for joining me for this conversation. Let's build a legacy of excellence together. Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Schools of Excellence podcast. So today I'm starting actually a two-part series. It's going to be part one of a culture of urgency. So in the last, I would say 2 years or so, I have been really observing a lot of the core tensions that I'm seeing inside of schools. So if you guys remember, back a little over a year and a half ago, I did a series called The Culture Tension Decoder, which is a four-part series in really decoding what are some of the core tensions inside of your organization. And one of the core tensions that exists across the board inside of schools is a culture of urgency. The notion that everything is urgent, everything needs to happen now, really sits as a driving tension inside of organizations and specifically inside of schools. And so a culture of urgency is really characterized by this persistent sense of immediacy, where every decision, every task, every project is expected to be executed now. And so a sense of urgency really can be beneficial in, you know, certain situations, you know, where there's like a health risk or a safety risk, but an extreme sense of urgency where there's this constant sense of everything needs to happen now really impacts the organization. And in today's conversation, I'm really going to dive into what are some of the symptoms that create a culture of urgency. And in the next episode, I'm going to talk about the antithesis to a culture of urgency, which is a culture of calm, a culture of mindfulness, a culture of intentionality, which is something that we really all want. And I want to start off by really helping you guys understand the root of urgency and where it really comes from. Because if we don't understand why things feel urgent or why we're coming from a place of urgency, it's very difficult to kind of change our behaviors. So anytime I share information with you of like, you know, here are some of the top things, where I am sharing from is from accumulative data that comes from hundreds of hours of conversations that I have with school leaders from around the world, teachers, administrators, curriculum specialists, HR specialists, onboarding, owners, directors, assistant directors, office assistants, administrative. Like, I talk to the run of the gamut on the leadership team and in the org chart. And so when I bring information to you, it's really me bringing together all of these conversations, looking at all of those patterns of information and bringing it together to you in this podcast. So I'm going to share with you the top three areas that the top three drivers, if you will, that I see as core drivers for why people end up adopting a mindset of a culture of urgency. So the first one is external pressures. So leaders, and specifically school leaders, face a lot of external pressures from government, from school boards, from other stakeholders to really consistently demonstrate these measurable results or ROIs, if you will. And there's this really big demand for accountability and, you know, all these different things. And it really it persists and permeates into this culture of urgency as the leaders and the directors and the owners really feel compelled to constantly produce these immediate and tangible outcomes to meet the expectations of outside forces. And most of the people that are creating these expectations have absolutely no idea how long it actually takes to produce a result like this that's sustainable, and the impact of actually creating an expectation like this. And so what happens is, like I was saying, we adopt the external pressures and expectations of other people who actually have no real understanding of what is happening inside of our own school. So that's one of the first drivers of why I find leaders adopting a culture of urgency. The second thing is competition and kind of a perception of success. So there is a lot of perception of success, specifically in educational institutions, whether that's at the local level, the national level, or the global level. School leaders are constantly looking to be the competitive edge, have this perception of success, which drives a culture of urgency, because the desire to constantly outperform your peers quickly, right, turns into this focus of, we got to have immediate visible achievements. And when you are constantly pushing immediate and visible achievements, you are going to get sucked into a culture of urgency. So I hope that as I'm sharing these examples, you're taking time to take some stock of yourself and saying, okay, one second, where do I fall here, right? Am I possibly, you know, falling into this a little bit? And again, there's no judgment here. It's not about being shameful on yourself now and saying, oh my God, this is what I do. No, this is about self-awareness. Okay, this is something that I do. Now let's talk about, you know, is it hindering me? Is it stopping this kind of success that I want? Is this not sustainable? Like, and now we start to ask different questions. But first, I want to share the third one, which is leadership styles and kind of your own personality traits. And so there are a lot of leaders who, because leaders play a significant role in shaping culture, there are certain leaders that are inclined towards urgency, whether that's due to their own experiences, their personality, their upbringing, whatever it is. And they unintentionally promote this culture that values quick results and immediate action. So you might be someone who falls into this, you know, category of like, urgency or immediate results or, you know, quick visible transformations is something that is a big part of your personal life or a big part of your life, maybe before you started your school. And you kind of translated that and just moved that into your culture inside of your organization, not realizing the impacts that it's having on your staff, on the families, and on all the stakeholders, really. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to walk you through some of the top impacts that a culture of urgency has on all of your staff and families. Okay. Now, as you go through this, feel free to kind of give yourself a rating. Inside of the Schools of Excellence membership and our directors in our circle and our Owners HQ program, we have something called the Cultural Tension Decoder Assessment, which is a 25-question assessment on a rating scale that helps you rate the stress levels inside of your company, the mindfulness and the collaboration kind of harmony that exists inside of the culture. So we assess those three areas and then it will tell you what is the core tension inside of your organization that you want to work on. So over here, I'm going to share with you kind of these top areas that come on the stress area, kind of on the stress cycle of urgency. But if you're interested in really understanding the full diagnostic of how to use the culture tension decoder and how to really decode the core tension inside of your organization, you could click the link in the show notes. You can fill out an application, apply for the membership, and we'll jump on a call and we'll have a conversation. So let's dive in. The first impact, the first sign that your company has adopted a culture of urgency is there are high stress levels. What does that mean? Well, it means that staff are experiencing elevated levels of stress due to the constant pressure to meet tight deadlines. So there's always a tight deadline. So it's not like every once in a while there's like this tight deadline or there's this season of like, ooh, it's a little bit tight here. It's a perpetual cycle that there is always a tight deadline. And so high stress levels lead to burnout, which really impacts physical well-being of your staff. So high stress levels is one of the first impacts of a culture of urgency and one of the first symptoms of you recognizing, we might have a culture of urgency here. How else can you recognize if you have a culture of urgency? Number two, short-term focus. There is a focus that is primarily on short-term goals and immediate outcomes, which often comes at the expense of long-term strategic planning. And so what happens is it's not that a company shouldn't have short-term goals. No, a company needs short-term goals and long-term goals. I say this all the time, right? You're always building two businesses, the one you have now and the one you're going to have in 6 months from now. And so you need some short-term goals, but a company that is driven by a culture of urgency has a consistent short-term focus. Everything is about immediate outcomes. And rarely are there any goals that you're looking forward into the future that you're dedicating time to work on some bigger projects. And you're not just focused on like the here, the right now, the this second. Next, impact of culture of urgency, or a symptom that will help you recognize, ooh, we might have a culture of urgency. Reactive decision-making is when the culture is driven by urgency, everyone is making decisions based on emotions or based on what can help them feel better quickly. And so we're not taking the time to think through outcomes, the risk factors. There's no analysis. There's no thoughtfulness that's given. It's more, okay, this is the problem. Okay, quickly go solve it in the quickest possible way. Not, okay, this is a problem. Let's diagnose the root problem. Let's try to understand what's happening here so we can make sure this doesn't repeat itself. It's all reactive. Where else does a culture of urgency show up? Very little time for reflection. So in the way that your routines and rituals of your company are created, the routines and rituals are not built around reflection. There's very minimal time to learn from past experiences or taking time to reflect. The urgency culture is constantly discouraging time to think and to analyze or to learn from successes or failures. It's on to the next, right? It's a short celebration and now we're on to the next. There isn't time for reflection. That is the sign of a culture of urgency. Now, as I'm sharing these different things, you don't need to have all of these things to be a culture of urgency, right? Even one or two of these things is a sign that you're slipping into the thinking of a culture of urgency. All right, this next one is probably the most common childcare, frequent firefighting, okay? A school that is consistently addressing crises or urgent matters leads to perpetual firefighting mode. It creates a sense of chaos and it really prevents teams from working on important non-urgent initiatives. So non-urgent initiatives almost become, it's a moot point. Like no one even like tackles them because there's so much firefighting. There's so much crisis. There's so much chaos. You can't even work on anything that's non-urgent. That is a sign that you have a culture of urgency. All right, let's go further. Overemphasis on speed. You know who you are when you hear this, ladies and gentlemen. Overemphasis on speed. Speed becomes the primary metric of success. So when you are in a culture of urgency and you want to know, am I struggling with the symptoms? Well, speed is the ultimate metric of success. It overshadows all other factors like quality, innovation, employee well-being. Those are not metrics. It is speed. The rush to accomplish tasks quickly compromises everything else. Like everything is about how quickly can we get this out to the finish line. Okay. And so you might be listening to and say, oh, we don't do this all the time. We do it some of the time. Okay. Well, then ask yourself, in the places that you are overemphasizing speed, is that necessary? Is it necessary to value and prioritize speed in that context? Where else is there a symptom of a culture of urgency? Communication challenges. Rapid decision-making make constant urgency and it leads to communication breakdowns. So what happens is a lot of important information gets overlooked because people are not taking the time to share. It impacts collaboration. It impacts teamwork. And so communication breaks down. That is a sign you are in a culture of urgency. If you are struggling with internal communication on your leadership team or in the way that your teams are communicating with each other, you may be struggling with a culture of urgency. Where else does culture of urgency show up? Frequent burnout. So employees experience burnout due to the continuous demands of quick turnaround times and extremely high levels of productivity. And so when we are constantly demanding quick turnarounds and we are overemphasizing efficiency and productivity, it results in decreased morale, low engagement, low job satisfaction, which leads to burnout. Okay, where else? High turnover rates. A culture of urgency contributes to high turnover rates because employees are under constant pressure in a fast-paced environment, which is unsustainable in the long run. So they are tired. So you will have high turnover. And lastly is inconsistent prioritization. urgency leads to inconsistent prioritization of projects because the focus consistently shifts from rapidly from one urgent matter to the next urgent matter. And so the team never understands, is this the priority? Is this the priority? Is this what you want us to focus on? Yesterday you said this. So this happens so often when I work with directors, they'll say things like, oh, I didn't start that project because so many times I'll start something and like a few days later, the owner will come in and say, change my mind. So I've stopped starting something until a couple days later because, you know, she might change her mind. Or I rarely like put any effort in the beginning because I know she's going to change her mind. This is a big problem because when there is inconsistent prioritization, not only do you decrease morale, you actually like poach all the ownership and buy-in and innovation from your team because they are so afraid to take action because they don't know, is this really going to be the priority for the next 90 days or is this just a priority for the next couple hours until my boss thinks of another new idea? And so in a culture of urgency, restraint is such a critical skill that leaders need to learn how to practice. It's restraint. Like there are so many things that I could be working on inside of this business. There are so many things that I could be focused on. There are so many things my team could be working on in each department. We have to practice restraint. Where are we actually going to go all in on? What bonfires are we actually going to build? Not a million little forest fires, but these big fires that we're going to build that are actually going to catapult the company forward in a sustainable way. That is a huge part of leadership, is the practice of restraint, is the subtraction so that you can prioritize properly and actually not create a culture of urgency inside of your organization. So I want to tell you a little bit of a story of a school leader who just how culture of urgency really permeates inside of a school. And remember, as you know, when I share stories on the podcast, I change some name and identifying details, but the story and the experience is real. The only time you'll hear the client's real name and their real experience is when we're doing a case study conversation. We have plenty of those as well where you can go listen in. So I want to tell a little bit of story about Emma. So Emma ran a really, really big childcare corporation. She had multiple locations. She was really compassionate about early childhood. She had a degree in special education. She had a degree in early childhood. She's been in the field of education her whole life. And she didn't really have an understanding that her and her leadership team were actually enslaved to a culture of urgency. And a lot of it was really threatening the essence of the mission that she was really trying to create. So Emma really had this kind of hustle mindset, you know, go do, like can do attitude, super optimistic, very, very positive oriented, really great mindset. But because she was so focused on like achieving and outcomes and like, let's go do this big project, let's go do this thing and constantly pursuing these next big goals, a lot of her leadership team really, really were guided just basically by the ticking of the clock. And so urgency really dictated the pace of everything. And what happened very, very slowly, again, this is not a sudden death. It's a very slow process that feels like it happened overnight because then all of a sudden when the symptoms and the casualties of urgency start to hit you, you're like, whoa, where did this come from? But it didn't come from nowhere. It's just this slow, perpetual process. And so the first casualty in her relentless pursuit of all these projects was high staff turnover. And so she started to see some of her best veteran teachers and some of her best directors from her different locations, again, she had multiple locations, started to put in their 2-week notice or their resignations or just didn't show up. And she was like, what is going on? And she sent me a message and she's like, honey, this is crazy. Like some of my best people are leaving. And so we really started to dig into, okay, you know, what's been going on? Where did the pattern come from? And we realized like a lot of it was coming from this burdening of constantly disrupting the flow of the leadership team. Constantly disrupting the flow of the teachers and giving them new things to take care of and new projects and new initiatives. And when they haven't really created any stability or rhythm or rituals around what they have. The next casualty in her culture of urgency, as she tried to start tackling the turnover, was individualized attention. Really just became like this like distant luxury. And she had always prided herself that her center really had individualized attention for the children. And so she was shocked when one of the parents, and then it was a couple of parents, came to her and started to kind of give these complaints, hinting that, you know, it felt like mass market. And she was like, what do you mean? We're like a small town. We're, you know, so individualized. We know everyone by name. And so she was really getting defensive around a lot of the parents who were sharing their experiences, that they felt that the school wasn't individualized anymore and just had more of this mass market kind of feel. And so what happened was, is the urgency, again, to adhere to these strict schedules and these constant firefighting and barely any time to reflect, the teachers were grappling with all of these challenges of addressing these unique needs, learning styles of each child, the emotional, the cognitive development, all of this stuff. And so in the haste to just do all the things and manage everything at this high volume, it just started crumbling, and they were just mass producing things and they weren't being more customized with what the children actually needed. And so there was an increase in behavioral issues and behavioral concerns inside of the classroom. And so Emma came to me and she's like, honey, we've got to figure this out. Like, this is really, really difficult. There's strained relationships. I'm losing staff. My brand identity is starting to really hit. I'm having strained relationships with parents because there's an urgency culture here. She was also noticing, you know, drop off and pickup times, teachers were very rushed in their interactions. And she noticed that parents felt very disconnected from the families because there was very limited communication. There was a lack of personalized attention. And so that really eroded the sense of partnership and trust that the teachers used to have, that the parents used to have with the teachers. And so all of these things together just created this really tumultuous culture for Emma and the team. And so she really became determined to restore the kind of former glory of the center, where they had individualized attention, where there was a slower pace, where there was time for reflection. And she really, really wanted to create that inside of the center. And that started with implementing some simple things. So she started with something that we call the daily huddle. This is something that we teach in foundations inside of our membership. And so the daily huddle helped all of her leadership team really get on the same page. And then she also started to communicate with her leadership team how to report to her. So one of the things that we teach inside of our owners group is how to really get your team to tell you no and know how to push back respectfully. Because you, as the CEO and as the leader, you have all of these amazing ideas. But if you don't train your team how to put guardrails and boundaries, they're just always going to be yes people. And you don't want to be surrounded by yes people. You want to be surrounded by yes maybe people. And so she started to train her leadership team that when she comes with ideas, these are the filtering questions that they need to ask. And this is how they need to respond to all of her ideas. And slowly but surely, she started to chip away at that culture of urgency. So I hope this story is inspiring for you just to recognize, like, one, these things don't happen overnight. It's a slow chipping away. And two, it is possible to create a transformation. So again, like I was saying, in the membership, we have something called the Cultural Tension Decoder. It's a 25-question diagnostic. It assesses the core tensions inside of your company through a series of questions and ratings. And it really helps you identify, okay, this is the core area that our company needs to work on so that we can start to let go of this culture of urgency. So if today's episode resonated with you and you're like, you know what, I really, really want to let go of some of these bad habits that we've created, or I really want to let go of some of the way that we've been operating, you know, some of our MOs that we've been operating from, great, then it's okay. You can let go of this, right? None of this stuff are permanent. You can make a decision today. I no longer want to operate in a culture of urgency. Next episode, I'm actually going to be talking about how to invite a culture of slowness, a culture of calm, a culture of intentionality, which, contrary to what most big leaders think, is less ambitious, right? Like, oh, if I have a culture of slowness, then I'm not going to have big ambitions. I'm not going to have big goals. That is so not true. And so if you're interested in bringing more intentionality, more calmness, more slowness into your center and still have big goals and ambitions, then join me for next episode where I'm going to really be diving further into that. So thank you so much for joining us. Again, if you want more information on a culture of urgency, click the link in the show notes and apply. And I look forward to connecting with you. If you are loving the Schools of Excellence podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your school, I would love if you can do two things for me. One, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And two, can you please leave us a review? Reviews help other school leaders know that this is the place to learn how to build a school of excellence. And I would be so grateful if you can do that for us. Your help and support makes this show to be able to be listened by the thousands of other school leaders all around the world. Thanks so much for listening, for giving us your time and attention each and every week. And I appreciate that you have joined us.